Well, we have somebody on here that, Gary, you invited us to bring into the conversation because you were so impressed with the book that he has co-authored. Yes. And we're talking about Derek Bishop, who is on the line with us right now from Merry Old England. Derek, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to join you.
Thank you.
They tease me a little bit about innovation and how much I care about it and all the different things that I've done over my career. But I read your book. I only have about 14 pages of notes. I'm going to have to credit you the next two or three companies I go into.
As long as it's come to practical use, then that's the main thing that we're trying to achieve. So
exactly.
Good to hear.
And actually, you know, you say that. So why did you write the book?
When we talk to CEOs and leaders within large organizations, you know, they all know that they need to innovate. And there's plenty of research and publications reinforcing this and stating that innovation is, you know, top three priority for over 70% of firms. But in many of the conversations we were having, the questions were very much came down to, how do we make this as part of our everyday life? And in doing that, where do we start? And so we actually felt there was just a gap in terms of a book that provided a practical framework for organizations to make that happen. And that's something we've been working on, working with organizations to achieve over the last few years anyway. So it was about taking our methodology and packing it into to quite a few pages.
So this isn't just doing what comes naturally as an entrepreneur?
It's what comes naturally to an entrepreneur may be somewhat different for a large organization or organizations that's been running for quite some time can actually, you know, as organizations grow, then they tend to lose some of that spirit. And also what you need as you grow can be somewhat different to when you're in the early years, and particularly in those early years of startup.
You know, we have Jake Siegel here, and Jake has started now his third company that I know of. Now, I don't know if you had a lemonade stand before that or something, but you sold the second company to Ford, and Ford was very innovative a century ago. And then they got successful, and they got big, and then they had more management than leadership, which is something that Derek and his co-authors have dealt with in the book. But, you know, Ford bought your company because they're leaving it alone, Jake, because they don't want to kill that spirit of innovation that you started, right?
Yeah, that's certainly a key component of it. And look, I got to tell you, the companies that we work with at Tome Software, we do a lot of the same, you know, that we're helping large companies understand how to innovate and really some of the opportunities and understanding how you can create entrepreneurial activities within that large organization. So a lot of the work that I'm doing now, aside from, you know, for some executives, they just say, I want to buy the Internet of Things. Please let me know what that is. And I'd like to buy it.
And how much.
And how much. and how much money can I make? A lot of companies right now are struggling with having, you know, razor thin margins. Their products are becoming commoditized. And they're seeing top line sales hold constant, but they're having margin erosion. So the real challenge there is, you know, creating services for the hardware business and sometimes in some cases, you know, hardware for the services business and looking for those partnerships. So we're seeing a lot of that, and that's where that's really where us as entrepreneurs get to come in and help.
You know, it's interesting because while companies can buy innovation, they really need to change the culture, really, don't they, Derek, in order for them to really start to innovate inside the company.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a place for buying in some innovation, but if that's what you rely on completely in terms of helping your business move forward, buying it in is just, for me, is not actually long-term sustainable. And actually, you're missing a golden opportunity because within the organization, you have a huge amount of untapped innovation capability, whether that's, you know, utilizing some of the insight and intelligence that the people within the organization have got.
You know, those people that are closest to the work, they kind of know what's supposed to happen, but sometimes the organization and all the processes and the management, that it gets in the way. How does a company go about getting started in that cultural change to maybe bring back a culture of innovation?
I mean, some of the key things, certainly from a leadership point of view, there's got to be an agreed innovation mix and strategy. So, you know, not every organization will be able to go for radical innovation. Some will only be able to do some small incremental, but looking maybe in between that for some differentiated innovation. They very much need to have a clear appetite and risk for what mix of innovation do we want to do we need in order to deliver our future growth, and then it's a question of how do you embed that throughout the organization. So what insight and intelligence can you enable from within the organization to identify and spot those opportunities of solving real customer problems, or either current customer problems or anticipate the future needs and finding the solutions that will enable that, you to address those needs and deliver it profitably, and, enable the growth. Right. And I think, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, products and services can be copied so quickly, margins are being eroded, and technology is just advancing so quickly. But, if you can, one of the things that organizations often miss is about using that insight and the insight that the frontline people can actually gain from interacting with customers to uncover the real, what are the real pains and real troubles of customers, so that you can then go about solving those. And that for me is setting that, what that innovation mix is, and then how you embed it in by starting with the intelligence. And, having got that intelligence, many organizations really aren't geared up for, they're quite functionalized, can be quite siloed. So they need to break that down and very much look for collaboration, both within the organization and also out to outside the organization as well. So,
by the way, Derek, I just want to tell people we're listening to Derek Bishop. He has co-authored a book called Building a Culture of Innovation, along with Chris Besick and Joe Garrity. And you've been talking about a practical approach to innovation. Can you give us some examples for those of us who maybe haven't got the MBAs that Gary has and aren't the entrepreneurs that these other people are in the studio are? How has this changed companies that you've worked with?
Let me give you a story of actually a very non-technology driven one. And people relate to it because most people have been to one of these types of organizations. So as we work with a number of zoos and safari parks, and one example where we saw the benefits of this realized was that actually we changed the way that the staff viewed their visitors and started interacting with their visitors to really uncover, sort of start archetyping the types of customers, visitors, the families, the grandparents, and then started getting them to, what they identified is they had a lot of visitors who were coming in with really professional photography cameras with big zoom lenses.
I got to take a pause for just a minute and we'll be right back. I want to hear the end of the story because it sounds fascinating. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker. We also have in studio a guest with Jake Siegel is back in studio with us, and Kasten Thomas also as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about those businesses. But we were in the middle of a conversation with Derek Bishop, who is co-author of the book called Building a Culture of Innovation, along with Chris Besick and Joe Carity. And one of the key things about this is that this is written as a practical guide to large organizations to recapture that sense of innovation that may have driven them, like with Jake's business, on a much smaller scale to do all sorts of crazy kind of things. But now they're a big company protecting, shareholder benefits, et cetera, et cetera. How do we continue that? You were telling us the story of some of these safari companies and zoos and some of the insights that you gathered. So if you could recap that and continue with the story.
Yeah, So we worked with the staff to help them really start to understand who their visitors to the safari park and the zoo actually were. And they started identifying that they had the typical families, but they had then the grandparents coming in with the grandchildren, but they had the young lovers that were coming on a date. But they also identified a group of visitors who were coming with very professional photography equipment. And they started sort of gathering, having different conversations with those visitors, and uncovered that actually the main reason for coming was to actually, you know, practice their ability to take really up-close pictures of animals.
Ah.
And what the staff then identified was, well, why don't we... They came up with this fantastic idea of, why don't we offer professional training courses for taking up-close photographs of animals?
I love it.
So then they tracked down a local training professional trainer of this sort of stuff, and then they started running these courses in some new facilities that they actually had just previously recently built. So they started using their conference facilities, and so they opened up this new revenue stream of offering these professional training courses. Then what they found was, because they've been trained up, those visitors signed up as members to the zoo, so paying annual membership, and they would therefore come back several times throughout the year in order to practice.
Mm.
Now, every time they visit, they're spending money on lunches, etc., coffees. And so all of a sudden, they started driving additional revenue streams. And then they took it one step further and thought, well, actually, why don't we reach out to specialist travel agents who organize holidays, safari holidays overseas, and... when they're booking customers for those sorts of holidays, why don't we get them to upsell those opportunities to come on a professional, you know, learn to do professional photography of animals? The net effect of that and a number of other ideas that all came through the staff with very little technology solution was revenues rose 32% within
wow.
1 year.
but a lot of that was because of the data that they gathered, so kind mm-hmm. of data-driven innovation.
Yep.
And surprise, surprise, they listen to the customer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What do you know?
Yeah, but it just goes to show how tapping into that capability within the organization can make a massive difference. And they then were going out. They sought the organizations to collaborate with, the trainers, the travel agents, and they did all of that to make it happen. So it just goes to show you that you don't need a top-down
sure.
you know, approach to this, that actually we call it middle-out, you know, enable it from within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's normally top-down and bottom-up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you have to have both?
You do, because you very much need to have it needs to be on the top team's agenda, because
right.
if it isn't, then it's not going to get the required energy, and other things definitely become a priority. But you can't rely on just a top-down approach. You do need the bottom-up approach as well. So
yeah.
top-down needs to enable it. Otherwise,
yeah,
it just won't happen.
Right, exactly. Jake, does any of us ring a bell for you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, the comment about like getting, looking at the problem, the opportunity, you know, I find that the term like rainmaker gets thrown around a lot, but, you know, these are people that are super passionate about the problem space
mm-hmm.
and they're not locked in. So, you know, getting new ideas from new employees, from interns, from younger employees. I mean, Google is famous for their 20%, and that's something
that's right.
I've seen work well. Adobe has a really cool product they open sourced, which is, and I'm going to blank on the name, maybe you can look it up for Gary, but it's an open innovation box where they give all of their employees this cardboard box with, amongst other things, a debit card that they could buy literally whatever they want. And
oh my.
I heard the pitch on this, and you can imagine HR is like, oh my God, what do these people buy crazy things with their $20? And they're like, look, I think it's going to be okay. And,
yeah,
you know, like, we trust them to work here. We trust them to have a prepaid debit card. Because, you'd be surprised how many companies, you know, I'm sure you probably comment on this, but like how many companies you literally couldn't buy a pad of paper and a pen with your corporate credit card without getting approval. So, you know, unlocking, knocking down some of those barriers is key to getting that thing moving.
I'd just like to welcome our listeners from WJR Radio in Detroit who have joined us following the Michigan State University football game. American football, by the way, Derek, not. Football, as you know it. I'm teasing because our host, who's, pardon me, one of our guests on the line here is from England, is Derek Bishop, who has co-authored a book about creating a culture of innovation in companies, getting companies to be able to practically, as they grow in size, to continue that spirit of innovation that may have got them going. Gary Baker, my co-host here over the years and the Internet Advisor, and also Jake Siegel is with us in studio, who has been our guest a number of times with many different companies. This time around, he's got Tome Software, which is involved in helping companies to be able to tap into the Internet of Things. And we can maybe talk about that in just a moment.
And so we were talking that... that Jake, your second company, you actually sold to Ford Motor Company because they were having trouble figuring out how to be innovative inside. They could buy innovation. They left that company mm-hmm. alone and allowed you to continue that innovative process. One thing that's really struck me about building a culture of innovation that Derek Bishop and his co-authors wrote was that they talk about, okay, that's one way to get innovation. You can buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you want to change the organization so the organization itself becomes more innovative? Derek, what are some of the triggers? What are the change points that have to happen in order for a larger company to kind of change, go back to its roots and become
critical
innovative?
Issue for Detroit.
Right. And yeah, they do somewhat of a good job, but they don't, not completely. So what has to change?
There has to be, to start with, there has to be a real grasp of the need to change and the need to do something different from the senior leadership team. So they've got to get the fact that, this is intellectually and emotionally, they need to be able to do this because, the competition, some of the competition will be from organizations or businesses that don't even exist today. And Jake's probably a very prime example of that. So when you look at your competitive landscape, you've got to be prepared for the fact that competition is going to come out of nowhere. So first of all, they really have to get to grips with why do we need to change and what do we need to do differently? And then set about, what is our risk appetite? And, some of them just won't want to do the radical. They won't have the appetite for doing radical innovation. So what is it they need to do the, the differentiated, which is less risky, but is a real opportunity? A bit like the example of the zoo. Doesn't take a lot, but actually it can make a massive difference. So, first of all, the leadership team really have to have that clear picture of why do we need to change and what are the existing capabilities we have. And then it's very much about assembling the team that, throughout the organization, bottom up as well, using innovation champions, and giving them some of the tools and capabilities to gather the intelligence and not just data, but the real insight and intelligence that will let uncover the real problems.
Yeah, Derek, the one thing that that I liked was your 4E methodology, educate, engage, empower, and enable those employees. They know what to do. They just don't think they have permission sometimes to go ahead and pursue something that might be a little more innovative. Isn't that right?
Yeah, exactly. And often employee engagement is talked about a lot. Employee engagement is vital for you to really have innovation embedded within the organization. And so to do that, you've got to give them the tools. And in terms of embedding it, you need to make sure that all of the attributes that influence the culture, the policies, the processes, the systems, the management behaviors, all reinforce the innovation behaviors that you need.
Derek, we've run out of time, but in just a moment, we'll wrap things up. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker. And in studio, we have Jake Siegel, who was a friend of ours, been on here a number of times, and is currently has a new business out called Tome. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. We're wrapping things up with our guest, Derek Bishop, calling us from England. He is the co-author of a book called Building a Culture of Innovation, along with Chris Besick and Joe Garrity. And Derek, thank you so much for having joined us here. I have to end, Gary, I know you were so impressed with this, took tons of notes on this.
Only 14 pages.
Yeah, only 14 pages. This is focused in some ways towards larger companies. But I have to tell you, I just finished, before we came here, watching a TED movie presentation. Derek, you're familiar with TED?
Yes, I am, yeah.
I'm sure. It's international. And a guy named Steve Johnson was on talking about how innovation is tied to fun. And I thought, I wondered, I can see the twinkle in Jake's eye because he's in the studio across from me. But, when you get to a massive corporation, does that still apply?
You do need to create a more of a relaxed atmosphere to enable some of the innovation to take place. Whether it's whether you find the fun in the same way as you will in an entrepreneurial business, you obviously do with the likes of Google and Facebook, etc. But with some organizations, they struggle with that, particularly if they have a very large operationally production service orientated function.
Sure.
But you do definitely need to create the freedom in order for the innovation, the exploratory, the bit of risk taking to actually take place.
But with Quicken Loans, a company in the Detroit area, and Jake, maybe you can comment on this. Somebody gave me a tour of the building. They have a basketball court in there. They have a place where people can talk about office supplies, get as much as you want, food, et cetera, is accessible there. Extraordinarily successful in what they're doing. And it's not because they're feeding the animals well.
Well, they are too. I believe they have free food and coffee, and that's you know.
But
important.
Even with the size that Dan Gilbert's got going there, I mean, it's just enormous what they're doing there. They still have kept that element.
And a lot of those are just props, really. But what they really do well is, and Derek really talks about it in the book, which is, you know, even when they fail. They consider that a learning experience, not something that should be punished. And Derek, that's an important part of a culture of innovation, right?
It is fundamental, and that goes that changes the way that you lead and manage people, so that actually, you know, people aren't driven for 100% accuracy or getting it right first time, but actually the freedom to be able to try a few different things, you know, have longer conversations with your customers. To get that insight rather than feeling you're being driven purely by productivity. So that's where some of the, you know, it's not necessarily fun. It's about shifting the culture to enable this different types of conversations and idea exploration to actually happen rather than, the very, tightly managed.
Right, exactly.
Order-taking sort of environment.
Jake, you were going to say something?
Yeah, you know, with the startups, you know, we embrace failure, and we even at our company have a thing called the fail brick. And, you get this brick with our Tome Owl logo passed around. It's a badge of honor. And if it's not getting passed around, I want to know why. For our larger, and we work primarily with Fortune 500 companies, and the word fail is still a very dirty word in large businesses. And the term that seems to resonate well with our business, with large companies, is learning fast. Right. You know, and that's a great way to kind of keep it positive and making sure it's properly funded. And, you know, learning fast allows that innovation culture to happen in large corporations.
I've always talked so many.
We adopt a similar, very similar sort of thing of, you know, sooner rather than perfect. You know, fail fast.
I like that.
It's just about, you know, this get it out there, get it out, the new products and services out there and test them with customers rather than trying to design the perfect answer internally because you can never actually achieve that. It's better to get out there and learn really fast.
Derek, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We've unfortunately run out of time here, and it's been a delight talking with you. We will, by the way, on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, we will post links to the book so you can find out. You can get the book yourself and join Gary in taking copious notes. Again, it's called Building a Culture of Innovation. And Derek, I want to thank you so much, Derek Bishop, for being with us and wish you the very best.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Good having you too.